Rich Dad said, the moment you start working for a paycheck and you become in debt, at that point money has taken over mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because nobody wants to be thrown on the street. Nobody wants to be called a deadbeat. In the olden days, they put you in those stocks or irons, and they publicly humiliated you for not paying your bills. And because of that emotional fear, which of course nobody wants, is that people get onto the treadmill or the rat race, working hard, paying taxes, paying bills, buying liabilities they think are assets, and they never get out of the addiction. And so going back again, one of the reasons he refused to pay me the 10 cents an hour, which was very little, was to have me step back and look at the overall picture of money, how it's generated, where it comes from, and things like that. So it's very important that money is more than money. Money is survival itself. When somebody says to me, money is not that important, I say, well, neither is air, water, and food. But it's important when you don't have it. And when most people who are, I would call, arrogant or ignorant about the subject, they say, oh, it's not that important to me, yet they get up and go to work every day because they have bills to pay. You know, that I owe, so off to work I go. And that's what happens to most people. Because they've never been prepared mentally or emotionally to be the masters of money. So because they're not mentally, emotionally prepared, they become the slave to money. I want to talk about systems and the importance of it. The reason there's 30-year-olds who are billionaires today is because the internet is a self-contained system. And when we look at systems, a car is a system of systems. It has a brake system. It has a steering system. It has a fuel system, a carburation. So when you build a business is much like a car. It's a system of systems. What an employee does, employee goes to school and learns to be a part of that system. So you might be, you're the specialist, you're the brake pad, or you're the tire, or you're the steering wheel, but you never learned about the entire system. A self-employed person is a specialist for the system. So when you have brake problems, well, let's bring them in. Let's bring in an attorney. Let's bring in an accountant. What a business owner needs to do is be in charge of the entire system, create the entire system, or own the system. One of the reasons real estate is such an easy investment for the average person starting out is once the house is built, you know, it was built by specialists like plumbers, electricians, masons, finish workers, and all this, a house is a system of systems. All an investor has to do is buy it, rent it, and the system sort of just does its stuff. It's not dependent upon people. You know, it just sort of sits there. So what an entrepreneur does is build the system. Unfortunately, most people who go to school, employees or self-employed, E and the S, they only know one small section of the system, and that's what traps them. If you're going to be a business owner or an investor, a successful one, you need the big picture. You need to step back from it and look at it and see it as it is. As a business owner or investor, you don't want anything to do with the system. And I'll say that again. The less involved in the system you are, the more valuable the system is, the more money you're going to make. The more involved you are in the system, the less money you make. For example, a doctor is the system. In other words, the patient comes to see the doctor does the work. The doctor may charge a high rate per hour, but they'll never be really rich like a business owner who can leverage the system. My rich dad used to say to me this way. He says, the less involved you are, the richer you will become. Donald Trump has 52 systems. He's financially literate. By being financially literate, he can run 52 different corporations. The reason I know about that is because a reporter from the Wall Street Journal went to see Trump and said, you have two companies that are bankrupt. He says, no big deal. I got 50 that are profitable. So by not being financially literate, not being able to read financials or understanding the systems of business, most individuals have only one financial statement, and that's their own. You know, either their personal or their business. So if you want to be rich, you want to be able to control multiple systems, not just one system. And if you're not attached to them, you can control multiple and many, many more systems. The reason I have so many different corporations is because I don't do any work in them. So my rich dad used to say the key to success was laziness. In other words, the less you did, the more money you could make. The less you knew. In other words, he said, if you want to be successful, be incompetent. Because if you're incompetent, nobody will ask you to do anything. For instance, nobody comes to me and asks me to do their hair because I can't cut your hair. Nobody asks me to cook for them because I can't cook. But as a business owner, I am responsible for bringing all the E's and S's together to build my system that makes me rich. My friend sold his company for $30 million, and the employee got a paycheck and a severance package. But what my friend was doing was building a system, and that's the big difference. Another sacred cow says, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. My experience that people do that are overworked, underpaid, and highly taxed because they have a passion. They want to do what they love. One of the rules of wealth is the more people you serve, the richer you become. So the problem with being the system, self-employed or a small business owner, is your leverage is limited. You can only serve so many people. So the reason people are becoming multi-billionaires today in less than a couple of years is because the World Wide Web allows you to serve billions of people rather than just the guys in your neighborhood. Now, if you're already following your passion and you want to become wealthier with less stress and less work, then you should figure out a system to share it with more and more people with less involvement from you. And that's one of the biggest keys to wealth. So that's why people say, well, I'm doing what I love and or do what you love and the money will follow. I'll say it again. Time is money for them. And they're overworked, highly taxed, and often more stressed and serving fewer and fewer people. So in my experience, the rich are actually more generous because they serve more people, whereas the poor and the middle class serve fewer people. Now, my poor dad followed his passion. He was an educator and he was a teacher. When people ask me who am I more like, I think genetically I am more my poor dad. I am a teacher. But what I teach is what my rich dad taught me. Get the differences there. The reason I write books and I create educational board games or simulations that teach investing in business is because I can serve more people at a less price. So I, too, am an educator like my poor dad, except I use the knowledge and wisdom and education of my rich dad. So the reason school teachers who are very passionate about serving young people, the reason their wages are so low is they can only serve a few people. And so that's why understanding systems and how to serve more and more people is one of the ways you get rich. For example, the Beatles got rich because billions of people fell in love with them. Michael Jordan is rich because billions of people, literally all over the world, Michael Jordan is greatly loved due to television and the electronic media. If this was 100 years ago, Michael Jordan would just be a basketball player and the Beatles would just still be playing in a bar in Hamburg. It's never been easier to become exceedingly rich. $1 billion is not out of line today if you'll follow your passion, but use the education found on the business owner and investor side of a quadrant. That's the secret. Part of preparing yourself emotionally for wealth is to inspect what you learned from school. Most people have a sacred cow that says, go to school is what you need to do. The problem with going to school is you pick up some very bad habits that prevent you from being wealthy. One of those things is a subject called risk. When people go to school, they're taught, don't make mistakes. And what my rich dad used to say to me was that there is magic found in every mistake. So if you made a mistake, inside that mistake, you learned something. For example, we would not have learned to ride a bicycle if we were not at first willing to fall off a couple of times. So in the falling off a couple of times, the magic that happens is we learn to ride a bicycle and the world opens up for us. Instead of walking, we can now join our friends and ride this magical bicycle all over the world. But we would never have had that magic if we had followed the tenet taught in school that making mistakes is bad and means you're stupid. The reality is in the real world, that the people who make the most mistakes make the most money, period. And the people who make the least mistakes make the least money. So when somebody says to me, I don't want to take a risk, investing is risky, I want to play it safe, what they're saying to me subconsciously is I don't want to make a mistake. And mistakes are how we learn. And that's why people who are afraid to make mistakes, because they've been taught to play it safe, not take risks, look for security, don't trust anybody else, like the S quadrant, the self-employed person often says. The reason they have a hard time is they have to do it on their own. And that's why what they learned in school oftentimes holds them back, because emotionally, school has taught you to not take risk and be a coward instead of conquering your fear. So the reason I make as much money as I make is because I failed more times than most people have failed. My rich dad used to say to me, show me somebody who has never failed and I'll show you a failure. The way you can expand your world is be willing to take small risks and learn from them. Unfortunately, what most people do when they make a mistake is they blame somebody else, or they pretend, they go into denial, no, I didn't make a mistake, or they justify it, oh, well, I didn't really want to learn that anyway. And so they waste a very valuable experience called the experience of making a mistake. The reason I have so much money is early on in my life, I was willing to take risks and lose it. Even today, I'll take a risk knowing that I'm going to make a mistake. When somebody says, what are the chances of you making a mistake? I said, pretty high. But if I learn from the mistake, I'm going to be smarter than somebody who did not make the mistake. The problem with most people who did well in school, like a straight-A student, is this was my poor dad. He was almost a straight-A student. He made the mistake at age 50. And because he couldn't handle the failure, he never evolved on. I've seen that happen so many times in business, where really smart people get stuck by their paradigms, their risks, their fear of making mistakes, and they don't want to go any further, and so they stay there, and they don't go further because they don't want to make a mistake. In the real world, you need to have school smarts. You need to have street smarts. The street smart person will often go a lot farther than somebody who's just school smart. If you want to go ultra far, you need both school smarts and street smarts. The thing I say to people is this. In school, your report card is your financial statement. It is an indicator of how well you're doing. So if you get all A's, it means you did well in school. Once you leave school, your report card is your financial statement. But since you've never been taught how to read a financial statement, you really don't know how well you're doing financially. And most people, by the time they're age 45, you should have at least $1 million in there. And the reason I say at least $1 million by age 45 is because if you work from, let's say, 25 to 65, 45 is halfway. If you don't have $1 million in net assets sitting in that asset column, you still have 20 years to correct. And you can start accumulating that money. Unfortunately, most people will not find out until they're age 65. They have nothing in their asset column. And that's going to be the biggest mistake of all. A very important aspect considering priming the pump or preparing yourself emotionally for wealth, understanding the be, the do, and the have, that very old model. What most people want to do is they want to have money, but they don't know what to do, and they don't know who to be. The most important thing is who you have to be able to do what you want to have. For example, if I want to climb Mount Everest, it has nothing to do with the doingness. To climb Mount Everest really has to do with who I have to be to climb the mountain. And that you have to get in a frame of mind, a state. And to me, being rich is first of all a state of mind. My rich dad used to say the biggest mistake the poor and middle class make is they actually think that if they have money, if they make more money, money will solve their money problems. So my poor dad always said, I'll just work harder, I'll be a better employee, and next year I'll get a $100 pay raise per month. And he thought that having, the be, do, and the have, the having more money would solve his financial problems. The problem was his being, his core, was a poor man. He was a very, very poor man with poor thoughts. He didn't understand it at all. He didn't know what to do. And so ultimately, no matter how much money he had, he never was wealthy. The moment he was fired, he found out he had nothing. There was nothing there for him. He had nothing in his asset column. So to be rich is a state of mind. The biggest mistake that people make is you may start off poor. I'm really afraid I don't have enough money. I need to work hard. So they work really, really hard, and they do the right things. And pretty soon they have a lot of money. But if they don't change the being from a poor person to a rich person, they lose all their money. I'll say it again. I have met so many people who start poor. They do the right thing by working hard, so they ultimately accumulate or have a lot of money. And they cling desperately because they have a lot of money. I have a friend who made $2 million this year in the stock market. He is more afraid. In other words, his beingness is so afraid of losing the $2 million. $2 million he didn't have before. But he was afraid when he didn't have it, and now he's afraid when he has it. So his being is still a poor person. And I said, you've got to make the shift from being a poor person to being a rich person. If not, you're going to lose it. And what happened just recently, his daughter hit somebody in the sidewalk with her car, across the crosswalk, should I say. The ambulance chasing attorney found out that he's a very high-paid executive. So naturally, he has deep pockets. Then he found out this guy had $2 or $3 million in his portfolio. Lawsuit was on. He lost everything. So because he was being a poor person, even though he didn't lose it in the stock market, he still lost it. And I think the fear of not having money, your beingness, ultimately lost it. That's why you have lottery winners who win $25 million. And in less than 5 years, they'll be deeply in debt because their being is still a poor person. What I say to people is when you finally have the money, you need to change your being from a poor person to a rich person. If you do not make that shift, you lose it. And this is one of the biggest shifts of shifting from being poor to being rich. When you're poor middle class, your values are you want high income. In other words, you want a high-paying job. You want to make a lot of money. And you want to lower your expenses. That's why so many books today are popular with the idea that you should cut up your credit cards and get out of debt. So they want high income and low expenses. To shift to becoming a rich person, which means shifting sometimes from the employee or the self-employed side to the business owner and investor side, you don't want high income. You want low income. It's exactly the opposite thinking. And you want high expenses. So what the poor and middle class want is high income, low expenses, and ultimately what the rich want, because they're more financially intelligent, then their beings are different. They're not as addicted to money. They want high expenses and low income. So those are some of the shifts a person needs to make if they're going to go to be rich and keep the money they make. The reason a person needs to make the shift from high income and low expenses to low income and high expenses is, again, due to financial literacy. You need to read a financial statement. What the rich know is that because they're operating out of the B or business owner quadrant, what they're trying to do is drop their income as hard as they can. They want to spend as much as they can, and they want to raise their expenses, because if they don't spend it, the government's going to take it anyway. So what happens for me is there's only two kinds of money problems. One problem is not enough money, and the other problem is too much money. I oftentimes hear people say, well, when I make a lot of money, my money problems are over. That is exactly a poor person's beingness and thinkingness. The reality is when you have a lot of money, you have a different kind of money problem, and the problem is too much money. If you don't make the shift, understand the tax and corporate laws, you give the money away anyway. So oftentimes what I do, my accountant will call me up and say, Robert, you're making too much money again. I go, oh, no. And she says, you need to step up your expenses and move that money someplace else, because if you don't spend it, the government's going to take it from you. So what the rich do is they move that extra money into additional assets, i.e. real estate and other companies. And that's why the rich get richer, because they expense as hard as they can, keeping their income low. The point is really is a shift of beingness as well as education. When I read a financial statement, I can tell if a person is rich or poor within a split second by reading it, by how they're spending their money. And when talking about moving my money from one corporation to another corporation, people say, is it legal, illegal? As I said earlier, the tax laws are different for the different quadrants. In other words, the employee quadrant operates under a different set of tax laws than the S quadrant, or the self-employed, and the self-employed operate in a different set of laws than the B quadrant. and the I quadrant doesn't really care because it plays whichever way it can. So part of being financially intelligent and working hard to get rich is you really do need to be aware of the tax laws, hire the best accountants and best attorneys possible, which goes back to the, not the final point, but another point about school and the bad habits you learn in school. In school, you learn to take tests on your own. In other words, come test time, you sat there, and the teacher handed out your paper, and you sat there. Now, in the real world, we cooperate like crazy. In other words, in the real world, I hire the best accountants and the best attorneys. In other words, the S-quadrant people, the self-employed or the smart. I hire the smartest people in the world. In school, I used to sit next to the smartest people in my classroom, and I used to be very cooperative at test time. Except cooperation in school is called cheating. And what happens to the average individual is they think operating on their own is smart. The reality is in the business world, the street smarts and school smarts, in the business world, business and investing is a team sport. You do it as a group. That's why I'm not that smart. I'm a C student most of my life, but I've had the money to hire the A students from the S quadrant and the E quadrant to do my work for me. So the average person trying to do business in the S quadrant or investing like an S, they operate on their own. The reality is, in the real world, it's a team sport. Business and investing is a team sport. Donald Trump says it all the time. I hire the smartest people and I have them on my team. The average individual is trying to be an individual against a highly paid and smart team. That would be like me going out to play against the Oakland Raiders as an individual. It doesn't work that way. So that's one of the bad habits about school, is that in school, cooperation is called cheating. In the real world, it's called being on a good team. When it comes to money, emotional intelligence is far more important than academic intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the ability to handle yourself many times. It's when you're afraid, do you go forward or do you pull back? And most people, when it comes to fear, which fear stands for false evidence appearing real, in other words, it's like having a boogeyman under the bed or somebody in the closet, most people back down. That's not that intelligent. An intelligent person thinks logically, unemotionally, and says, I need to learn to do this. For example, I flunked out of high school because I cannot write. I flunked typing and I flunked accounting. And I was the worst salesman in the world because I was so shy and afraid of rejection. And what my rich dad said to me, you have a choice of learning to overcome those fears or those shortcomings or forever be a prisoner to them. Whereas what my poor dad said, look, just play it safe, don't upset anything, be comfortable, take care of yourself, be gentle. So instead, because of what my rich dad taught me, is when I came back from Vietnam, where I learned to overcome a lot of fear, I went and took a job. The only job I ever took was learning how to sell. So he says, if you want to be a business owner, number one skill is the ability to sell or communicate ideas to other people, whether it be employees or your accountant, your banker, or your investors, or your people around you. So that's why he encouraged that I take up learning how to sell. And it wasn't that he wanted me to become a salesman. He wanted me to learn to overcome my fear. So for 2 years, I was the worst salesman Xerox had ever heard of. And finally, he came. My rich dad says, how you doing? I said, I'm going to get fired. You know, I hate sales. People kept saying no to me. I hate rejection. I'm not good. And excuse me, he says, the truth is, son. He says, you're scared. You're a coward. You got a choice. And that sort of spurred me on, and I kept asking and asking, and pretty soon I realized that, you're not saying what you think of me is none of my business, because what I thought of myself is more important than what you think of me. And I kept going, and I found mentors who could sell, and that's why I'm really happy to be doing this tape for Nightingale Conant, because I went to sales seminars, I actually bought a lot of your tapes, I listened to the tapes, I gained the skills, I learned from masters, and one day I had this magical breakthrough. I wasn't afraid anymore. I mean, I still had the fear, but the fear didn't contain me. It wasn't the wall in front of me anymore. I started making these breakthroughs. And I went from the worst, like number 20, to number 1 in sales. And this whole new world opened to me because I overcame the fear. Now, I still don't like rejection. But they have the right to say no to me. So what? So what? I say no to a lot of people. But it doesn't mean I don't like them. It doesn't mean I think less of them. In fact, I'm often more impressed with people who come up to me and I say no to them, and you know, they say thank you and continue on. But that breakthrough emotionally is one of the biggest breakthroughs I've ever had in my life. Now, in my relationship, my wife, you know, when we got together, I said, I want to become rich. I don't want to marry somebody rich, but I want a partner who wants to become rich. And in our marriage, we got together, and we started, when she is more courageous than I am, she's kept me strong over the years. We were homeless together in 1985, and we kept going. The thing is, she turned me down for 6 months. For 6 months, she's the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and the first time I asked her out, she said no. Most people would quit. 3 times later, she was still saying no. 2 months later, she was still saying no. 6 months later, she was still saying no, but then I didn't care, because if I didn't ask, the answer was no anyway. And finally, one day, she says, yes, I'll go out with you. I can't believe you're such an idiot. I said, oh, thank you. And we've been together ever since, been happily married, and without her, I would never have had this life. First of all, she is my best friend. Secondly, she is my business partner. And thirdly, she's my wife. But I would never have had that if I had not taken, I call it the abuse, you know, every time she said no, it must be because I'm ugly, maybe because of this, you know, all that self-doubt, but I learned to overcome that. So that's one example of your emotions, you just keep going and overcoming them. The same as writing. Every time I sat down to write my book, I could hear my two English teachers saying to me, he says, you can't write, you'll never be smart. And I had to sit at that computer, and now my book was number one for 2 years in Australia, New Zealand, top-selling book in Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Business Week, USA Today. But if I had given in to those fears and those self-doubts, I would never have had a book on the bestseller list. The same as accounting. I flunked out of accounting, and today I have three board games that teach accounting. I make it fun and exciting, because the reason I flunked out of accounting was so boring. And I decided I was going to make it fun and exciting for people rather than entertaining, rather than the boring way they taught you in school. So the thing about life is not backing down to your fears and doubts. It's that each one of them is a challenge. My rich dad said to me, he said that if you only do what you're good at, you limit yourself. The way to get better is to go after what you're not good, and that's why you expand yourself. So we've now covered some of the foundational steps my rich dad gave me, or the big picture to becoming rich or financially free in your lifetime. So from here on in, we're going to go into the 7 steps to financial literacy so that you can apply my rich dad's principles to your own life.